Give me a centering prayer. God, our God, we cry out, your beloved needs you right now. Draw us near, calm our fears, our anxieties, and our worries, and speak your word that all people may hear the truth of the gospel. In Christ's name, amen. There is a dark secret in my life that I have tried to keep hidden for many years. In first grade, Mrs. Smith, like all great teachers, had a personal investment in education and the well-being of her students. She quickly noticed that I was well behind in reading, and by Thanksgiving, she and my parents had met to map out a road so that I could begin to learn. And it was during Christmas break that my parents sat me down in the living room on their tan and brown couch that's speckled with gold and orange flowers, which, come to think of it, is probably the reason why I like the orange couch in my office so much. But anyways, they gently sat me down on the couch, and they told me that when I went back to school after Christmas, I would be going to a new classroom with a new teacher and with new students. And I knew instantly that I was going to be held back. And I was terrified of the teasing and the pain and the embarrassment that would come with that. A few years later, with all sorts of testing done, hours and hours spent in the resource room, I was informed that I have dyslexia. Dyslexia is a learning disability in which the words on paper and the punctuation gets all jumbled up and makes it very difficult to read. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Corinthians that he had a thorn in his side that continuously bothered him. Well, dyslexia bothers me every time I have to read, and it especially bothersome when I read out loud and in front of people. Despite this dark secret, the thorn in my side, I still had responsibilities, and in the kitchen of my childhood home was a refrigerator. It was muted yellow in color, and it had wooden handles. And plunk in the center of the door was a handwritten calendar. And the calendar had, each day had chores listed on it, and then the chores were assigned to either myself or to my siblings. So Mondays I swept the floor, Tuesdays I did some laundry, Wednesdays vacuuming, Thursdays dusting, Friday were dishes, and Saturday I would help my dad mow the lawn, and on Sundays was clean up your room day. Well, like all children, young adults, and adults, I came up with excuses why I couldn't do my chores. And I turned to my dark secret as the number one reason I couldn't clean up my bedroom. I would tell my parents, I can't do that today, I have to practice my reading. Or when it came to vacuuming, oh, Mom and Dad, I don't have time, I'm working on my spelling this week. My darkness had become the excuse for why I couldn't do things. But every time I would tell my parents a reason that I couldn't do my chores, my dad would look me directly in the eyes and he would say, Zachary, you are part of this family, and so you have responsibilities. Similarly, the disciples had responsibilities despite the thorn in their side that caused them grief and tremendous embarrassment. In our gospel text, Jesus has retreated to a mountainside, and the disciples have followed him there and gathered around him. And on that mountainside, he looked at the disciples and said to them, "You are the salt of the earth." When the disciples heard that, they would have understood salt to mean three things: purity, preservation, and seasoning. And I think in my mind's eye that when Jesus said these things, he looked at the disciples and he said, disciples, you are part of this family, so you have responsibilities. And despite our own dark secrets and the thorns in our sides, we too are called to season this world with the good news of Jesus Christ's super abundant love. Despite my dyslexia, I try to live into the call that God has placed on my life to be a pastor. And so I serve First Federated, hoping to bring some salty flavor to the church and to the community. And we all have secrets, but we are also all called to season this world. And oftentimes that means allowing Jesus to work through those dark places in our lives to shine his radiant light in all of the earth. And while the disciples and Jesus were still on the mountainside, Jesus went on to tell them that you are the light of the world. And the disciples would have understood Jesus' statement to be light one of two ways. Light was a guide. It's something like those little reflectors that border the roadways so that drivers in darkness can navigate the road and arrive in safety to their destination. They also understood light to be a warning, something like a lighthouse perched on a sea cliff that would cry out to sailors and to all seagoers, "Hey, watch out. The seabed is really shallow over there, or there's a rocky outcropping on this side. Be careful and be warned." So despite the painful jab of our own thorns, we too are called to be lights in this world. We're to illuminate the injustices that we see all around us. The injustices of racism, of sexism, of bullying, of wage disparity, of fear-mongering, of hunger and poverty. We, as the lights of Christ, decry injustice. But certainly, we may be reluctant to having deep and dark secrets that people may not know about. But as followers of Christ, we are called to responsibility. We are called to be the salt and the light of the earth. Now, it also must be noted that in our gospel text this morning, there is a profound word of grace for us all. When Jesus told the disciples that they had certain responsibilities, he did so in their presence. He was physically there with them, and he remained with the disciples for a time afterwards. But as we read in the Gospel of Matthew a few chapters later, Jesus was crucified. However, he did not leave the disciples by himself. He sent the Holy Spirit to the disciples to unite them to himself, also giving to them the power to carry out their responsibilities of being light and salt in the world. But Jesus, as we know, isn't physically present with us today. So how can we be sure that Christ is really with us? I think a sterling example of that is the Lord's table. At the Lord's table, we are assured of the presence of Christ with us. At the Lord's table, we see the visible signs of the invisible grace given to us through Jesus Christ. When we come to the Lord's table, we are reminded that Jesus Christ was sent into this world by God, a world of darkness, to be the true light which shines with absolute radiance. When we come to the Lord's table, we are assured that Jesus is with us through the power of the Holy Spirit who has united us to Christ both now and forevermore. Though darkness can sometimes be blinding and thorns can be excruciatingly painful, We are part of Christ's family, and so we have responsibilities. And the good news is we don't go at these responsibilities by ourselves. Christ is with us through the power of the Holy Spirit, who gives to us grace and peace and empowers us to be the salt and the light of the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.